Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
10 to 6, Tom Swarbrick on LBC, and it's Friday. Sort of. As good as. The Easter weekend, then, gives us an early treat. From Washington, D.C., the resurrection of Simon Mark's American Week.
Tom, it's going to be a big old night up in New York City. Joe Biden will this evening be flanked by his predecessors, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, for an event that could break all records for political fundraising in the United States. It's a bit like the Three Doctors episode of Doctor Who back in 1973 that brought Pertwee, Troughton and Hartnell together, only this time with a lot more glitz and sets that hopefully won't wobble if the three presidents accidentally bump into them. By the end of the night, the Biden election campaign hopes to have raised $25 million additional dollars, further cementing the president's already substantial financial advantage over his rival Donald Trump.
President Obama and President Clinton strongly support President Biden's leadership and obviously his agenda.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insisting there's no chance of any awkwardness tonight, despite well-sourced reports that Barack Obama is now sufficiently worried about the outcome of this November's election that he's offering the Biden campaign spadefuls of strategic advice.
I led the country through the COVID crisis. Today, we have the strongest economy in the world.
That Biden campaign commercial now being used in an advertising blitz in seven of the key swing states where the outcome of the presidential election will be decided may be having an impact. The $30 million the Biden team is devoting to a very early effort to improve the president's flagging fortunes is showing the springtime buds of potential recovery. A Bloomberg poll this week showed the president is closing the gap with Trump in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan and Nevada. It is too early for Democrats to exhale, but as they hold their breath, they are at least seeing some signs that voters are moving in Biden's direction, even as they face continuing questions about the president's age that stick in their craw.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though, they all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question.
WBT radio host Mark Garrison in Charlotte, North Carolina, whose interview with Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday did not last long.
That is an incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
I'm not even going to take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow!
She hung up.
Wow!
But as we have observed before, the question is not magically going to go away. The president's rival had a mixed week. On Monday morning, Donald Trump's goose appeared to be cooked.
It's a big day for former President Donald Trump. Time is almost up for him to post a nearly $500 million bond in his civil fraud trial.
If he doesn't, the New York Attorney General has vowed she'll start seizing his assets to pay the bill.
CBS and Fox there preparing viewers for the possibility of bailiffs descending on Trump Tower and some of the former president's other properties, given that his lawyers only last week had told the court that he could not come up with the $454 million bond that he was required to lodge. But then, once again, Trump's attorneys pulled yet another rabbit out of the hat.
A state appeals court judge has just granted Trump's request to stay the $464 million judgment in his New York civil fraud case.
This is a significant win, you could call it, for former President Trump.
Definitely, you could call it that. The appeals court told Trump that instead of coming up with a bond guaranteeing payment of $500 million, he only needed to find one to cover a $175 million fine. It was a stunning development, preventing New York's Attorney General from immediately beginning the process of seizing Trump's properties, and suggesting that when the full case is taken to appeal, the size of the judgment against him may be significantly reduced.
Well, I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post either $175 million in cash or bonds or security or whatever is necessary very quickly.
Now, the boomy acoustic there is because Trump was in another court when he learned of the ruling, failing to secure the dismissal of criminal charges that he faces over hush money payments he made to former adult film actress Stormy Daniels in the dying weeks of the 2016 presidential campaign. If the case begins as expected on April the 15th, Trump will become the first sitting or former president ever to go on criminal trial. And you already know what he thinks of that.
This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference.
During the six-week trial, Trump will be required to remain in New York except on Wednesdays and weekends when the court is not in session. That will impact his ability to hit the campaign trail. And many voters may agree that prosecutors are trying to derail his efforts to get his old job back. There is another candidate vying for the presidency, and so we should mark an important moment in his campaign.
I wanted a vice president who shared my passion for wholesome, healthy foods, chemical-free, for regenerative agriculture, for good soils.
Independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an environmentalist, but also a conspiracy theorist.
I also wanted a vice president who shares my indignation about the participation of big tech as a partner in the censorship and the surveillance and the information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people.
So he has picked multimillionaire Nicole Shanahan to be his running mate, the ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. Critics already argue she bought the position after ponying up $4 million to pay for a Kennedy advertisement in the middle of the Super Bowl.
As recently as a year ago, I really didn't think much of Bobby Kennedy because I didn't know much about him. But then a friend who's here today pulled me aside and she said, Nicole, please do me a favor. Just listen to an interview with Bobby Kennedy, just one. So I did. And I recognized that the person who I was seeing in these interviews was the exact opposite of the media slander of his character.
$4 million later, she's on the ticket. A vaccine skeptic who has never run for public office before, but who can infuse the campaign with cash. The Biden team is sufficiently concerned that they have hired strategists specifically to focus on the Kennedy candidacy and the threat that it poses. America learnt in the harshest way possible this week of the threat posed to its infrastructure by a freak accident.
One of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
Police radio communications 2 minutes before the massive container vessel, the Dali, slammed into the central support pillar of Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, a major landmark on America's East Coast. The ship lost power as it was about to be guided under the bridge to begin a three-week journey to Sri Lanka, and the crew aboard raised the alarm as they realized what was about to happen.
The whole bridge just fell down. The whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic was stopped?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
It is miraculous that in those precious seconds, police were able to halt traffic. Tragically, an 8-man repair crew carrying out maintenance to the roadway on the bridge was swept into the icy waters below. 2 survived, the other 6 are presumed dead. They were labourers who came to this country from Guatemala, El Salvador and Mexico. And the crew aboard the Dali, who acted so swiftly to save lives, all came from India. You might think that would reframe the discussion here about immigration as we cruise towards November. But this Easter, the resurrection of sensible political debate in the United States remains, Tom, a distant dream.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.